What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Top pieces of football, NFL lunch style, as we do every day here on Vinny and Haney at 1 o'clock. It's going to be Raven-centric because we got our picks coming up a couple of minutes as we go around the National Football League. But coming from behind, no. Ravens, they were in front early, often, by a significant margin. And then Dallas came back, made it interesting, got a little dicey there. But Lamar Jackson, you got the win. Significance is what?
Because we trying to get somewhere, you know, we got to win these games to get to the playoffs, man. Win these playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, but it start with the games that's in front of us. So the 0-2 start, we didn't want that to happen. You know, it's obviously as the football league, everyone's good. We can't look at no opponent and think we can go in there and just roll them over like this high school or something or college. We plan on playing walk-on guys. Everyone's a five-star, I believe, in the NFL. So we just going to games knowing we just got to give it our all because every time a team plays us, we might see something on field. Film and it might be different when we play them. You know, they're gonna play their heart out against us like it's a Super Bowl, so we just got to go out there and do what we're supposed to do
and beat a playoff team from last year on the road. And yep, they should be commended for that. But let's not forget, too, Vinny, the Ravens were the favorites,
yeah,
in this game.
And Dallas has lost three straight at home
and given up a ton of points in the process,
no doubt about it. And you know, they were a horrible defense, bottom line, a horrible defense, and the Ravens did what a good offense does, take advantage of where they're horrible, which is in the run game.
Now, not to get too far ahead, as big as yesterday's win was, and it was a significant win because you're 0-3. We talked about the scenarios. They're not good when it comes to getting in the playoffs. But now you got to start winning these games at home because they lose a lot of these marquee matchups at M&T Bank Stadium. And now Buffalo's coming in, playoff team for multiple years, and Josh Allen has won in Baltimore before, did it a couple years ago, beat the Ravens in the playoffs, so he's not worried about the matchup Baltimore versus them per se. But if the Ravens really want to start to get to where they need to get to, they got to start defending their home turf,
no doubt. And that's going to be a big one on Sunday night. And the advantage that the Ravens have, Bob, is Buffalo's playing tonight. It is at home, and they're going to have the short week, so that's going to be an advantage for the Ravens. And you know, who knows who gets hurt for Buffalo tonight, but the Ravens don't seem like they got anybody that won't be ready for next week. So that's good for the Ravens, and we'll see. I mean, but this is a big game. Like you said, Bob, they got to win these big games at home.
I mean, Lamar's 1-3 in the playoffs at M&T Bank Stadium. It's not always on him one way or another, but these are like the numbers that you're measured by comparing to other quarterbacks. And Josh Allen and Lamar are kind of the same. Lamar's got the MVPs that Josh Allen doesn't have, but they get to this certain level in the postseason. And Allen's been in one championship game, beat Baltimore to get there, lost to Kansas City. Then they just can't get by the Chiefs.
Right.
In the postseason, who send them packing. Cincinnati got them a couple years ago when they were favored in that game. But like Lamar, Josh Allen needs to start, you know, winning some marquee games himself.
Yep. Too. I would say this, Bob. After two games for Josh Allen, he would be the MVP of the league right now. And we'll see what he does tonight. I mean, if he continues, like if he has a big game tonight, Bob, and like we're saying, another MVP performance, that defense better get ready for when Buffalo comes.
Well, Lamar does have the MVPs, and here's John Harbaugh praising his quarterback and the way he has success just doing things with the offense.
Lamar caused a problem for him, too, because they had to defend Lamar as well. And you saw Lamar getting out and going the other way. He read all those plays really well. Some of those plays are read. Some of them aren't. So this combination right here that's sitting here in this room is a tough one to defend.
Yeah, it was. And he was talking about Derrick Henry was sitting there next to him and Lamar. So, but the thing about and Bob, I was saying in the pregame, and I didn't get it. I don't think I said it last week because I wasn't here Thursday, Friday. But I said it in the pregame that this is a game that to Lamar, this is going to be like Kansas City. I think he's going to carry it a lot, which he did. I mean, they came out of the gate to start the game, and well, they ran the same play to start the game and start the half, and both basically got 9 or 10 yards. So I kind of figured that Lamar was going to take this one into his hands.
And his feet. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It is NFL lunch here on this Monday. Rashad Bateman, he got himself 4 targets and a touchdown. He talked after the game about how this game's different than others.
And we finally finished. We didn't finish how we wanted to. We still got some stuff to get better at, but we finished the game. You know, we had the lead and we finished the game.
Yeah, I would say for the offense, you know, the offense finished the game, right? And defensively, yeah, they've got to pick it up. But for Bateman personally, big game for him. Confidence builder. Gets a touchdown, couple catches. Yeah, I think that was Lamar's running down in the end zone, hugging him. Thought that was a... They look more on the same page than Lamar and Andrews do right now.
Yeah, 1 target. And look, you said this earlier when we were talking about the game with Gianna Han. They're not... Him throwing 15 passes probably isn't the real identity of the team.
No.
It might be a little more balanced because they were throwing more than they were running. I think it'll get closer to 50-50 moving. But 15 passes a game, and he was efficient, 12 completions, but nah, I don't see that being the formula moving forward here.
I think for the Ravens, Bob, they would probably prefer, because of their offensive line, to run it more so they have play action pass and stuff, which helps the O-line. If they get in situations, Bob, where they got to throw it 30, 40 times and he's got to drop back, they're going to be in trouble because the O-line is not going to be able to protect because it has shown that.
What do we make of Likely and Andrews combining for 2 targets yesterday and 1 catch?
Well, what did Flowers have?
He had 4 targets and 3 catches for 20 yards.
Yeah, so there was a lot of guys. I mean, Bob, when you only throw it 15 times and you only throw it, 3 times in the second half, There's not a lot, and your running back's got 3 targets.
Right.
So there's not a lot of targets to go around.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back and you shift gears to a lighter note, I guess. It all depends on how seriously you take our picks, but it's our pick segment, and I guess we weren't taking it seriously because we all suck for the most part, so stay tuned for that. And the Orioles have been sucking for a long time with runners in scoring position in 2024. We'll talk about that with John Mioli as the Birds have dropped 5 straight series with only 2 regular seasons left, but they're getting healthier. What does this bode well for them heading into October baseball?
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
Well, we're not the only people that can pick games. Anybody can do it. And most people probably do it better than we do.
Yeah.
Definitely. I guess did it better than we did this weekend. Nolan McGraw heading into Saturday or Friday's college football fun through the NFL weekend. And the week's not done yet. We still have 2 games to get into, Jacksonville at Buffalo, Washington at Cincy. What were the standings looking like just 72 hours ago?
Close standings. Bob in the lead at 31-15. Vinny right behind at 30-16. And I'm bringing up the bringing up the rear, 28 and 18.
All right, so everything looked great. Everything sounded awesome.
Yeah.
And then we had Illinois at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And Illinois won that game. It was a competitive scrape on a Friday night, the Big Ten, 31-24. So how did we do projecting that game?
I have all three of us down here for the Cornhuskers.
Yep.
So there's an L.
And then one of many to come.
Yeah, then you got Tennessee at Oklahoma. Josh Heupel returning to where he was a college star. Both teams were undefeated. One team remains undefeated, and that's Tennessee. They win 25-15. And what's going on with that one, Aaron Olin there?
Bob, you and I tried to predict the upset here going with Oklahoma. Vinny had Tennessee.
No. Vinny gaining a game. How about Utah against Oklahoma State? And we talked about it on Friday. This is always the game that Gundy, you know, they get all closer to the top 10, top 15, and they wind up laying an egg at home. And it was Utah without Cam Rising, their starting quarterback, 22-19. It was the Utes to get to 4-0, by the way. So who picked Utah?
Still don't know what a Ute is, but you did pick Utah, Bob. That's Vinny, right, and myself with Oklahoma State.
All right, blind squirrel on that one. And then USC at Michigan, Orgy was the quarterback for the Wolverines, and he only threw for 32 yards, but boy, did they run the ball effectively. 27-24 as the previously undefeated Trojans take that L. Who picked Michigan to win that game?
None of us.
Huh.
All three of us on USC.
Ugh.
So enough of that college nonsense. Now let's get to the NFL because things have to get better from here. And we'll start with the Giants at Cleveland. No way the Browns were going to be 0-2 at home. Oh, way. 21-15 as the G-men get the W here.
Well, I think no way was the exact words I used. No way they lose this game.
Right.
Or there'd be serious panic in Cleveland. And I'd imagine that Cleveland sports radio today, pretty testy.
Oh, I can imagine.
We all had the Browns for obvious reasons.
And look, Watson threw two touchdown passes to Amari Cooper, but Daniel Jones was better.
How often do you get to say that?
And they, well, a lot of people have been better than Watson.
How about the first play of the game? They recovered the opening kickoff, and then he throws a pass to Cooper. First play, offensive play, touchdown.
Indianapolis at home against Chicago. Okay, a game that had sure turnovers, but exciting plays as well. Colts do get the win 21-16. What are we looking at here?
And I've got three corrects here. All of us on the Colts.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, let's get to hopefully, well, this is going to be an incorrect, I'm guessing. At Minnesota taking on Houston, the Texans, you know, they're looking good. They go to Minnesota. Is Stephon Diggs returning to the place? The team that drafted him and then traded him to Buffalo. Grenard going up against his former team. It's the Vikings, that is. 34-17, puffy pants style. What we got going on here?
Well, unless my notes are wrong, Bob, I believe you did take the Vikings.
I did.
So you're correct, Vinny and myself, wrong with the Texans.
Wrong in the selection there. Steelers taking on the Chargers. That Pittsburgh defense is for real. They knocked Justin Herbert and a bunch of offensive linemen out of the game. Pittsburgh 20-10.
Vinny, the only one that took the Steelers here.
All right.
And my prediction, or we talked about it, a chance for Dobbins to make history, needed 100 yards and a touchdown, came up far short.
Steelers are 3-0 and whatever. Right, Tampa! Here's another one they got out of control.
Man.
Early and often, Bo Nix gets his first win, 26-7. The Broncos blow out Tampa Bay and got all over Baker Mayfield, too, with the sacks.
Yeah, nobody daring enough to take the Broncos in this one.
Yeah, that's why we all took the L. How about a little Green Bay at Tennessee? It's Malik Willis going up against the team that drafted him, and it was a blowout in favor of the Pack, who win both games without Jordan Love, who might be back as soon as their next game. Levis doing Levis stuff, like throwing pick sixes. He did throw two touchdowns as well, but not enough. Green Bay 30-14.
Yeah, Bob and myself were going with the Pack. Vinny took the Titans.
Why'd I do that?
How about a little blowout action here? Carolina doing the blowing out, as a matter of fact. Randy Dalton throws three touchdown passes. Chuba Hubbard rushes for over 100. The Raiders win in Baltimore. Go home as big favorites. Get slapped around by the Panthers 36-22. I'm sure we all took Carolina, right?
No. I mean, I can fudge the numbers here. But
we don't want to lie to the people here.
No.
I mean, all right, whatever. I don't know what I was thinking in this one. Seattle 24-3 over the Dolphins.
You were a Skylar Thompson believer.
Ugh.
Not anymore.
No.
Vinny and myself took Mike McDonald in Seattle.
Arizona hosting Detroit. I was all over Arizona all week long.
And, me too.
Well, Vinny, I have you down for the Lions, Vinny.
Oh, well, maybe I did.
You did take Detroit.
Okay, so that is correct. Yeah. Bob had the Cardinals. I had the Lions.
Yeah, 20-13. Detroit gets their second win of the year. How about little San Francisco taking on the Rams? And San Fran was up big second half, and the Rams injury. Both teams are banged up, by the way, health-wise. But how about the Rams at home getting the win at the buzzer, 27-24?
All three of us had the 49ers. Maybe should have predicted that this thing would have been a little closer given the coaching matchup, the history that those two guys have, always playing each other tough, but we all did go with San Francisco.
And Juwan Jennings, 3 touchdowns. Brock Purdy, 3 touchdowns, no picks. And they lost Sunday night. Kansas City, 22-17 over Atlanta. Kansas City in the refs, I believe, against Atlanta.
Well,
I took the Falcons.
That's got to be a consideration when you're picking Chiefs games. Me and Vinny didn't learn the lesson. Bob took Kansas City.
That's right. 12 against 11, baby. You got to make it happen there. And then we have two games tonight. Before we get to those games, an updated standings report. Nolan McGraw.
Updated standings here. Actually, all three of us went 7-11, so no movement.
Where's my Slurpee, baby?
7-11. Yeah, that's right. Cherry Coke for me, please.
Jacksonville's at Buffalo. Bills minus 5.5.
I'm going Bills. Jacksonville's struggling, and Josh Allen's playing like MVP. I'll take the Bills.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars here.
Woo!
Their backs are against the wall. They can't fall to 0-3. They're on the road. It's a tall task, but I think they pull out a narrow victory.
I'm going to go Buffalo as well. James Cook's off to a very good start for them. I think they're going to get after Trevor Lawrence, so let's go Bills. Cincinnati, -7 against Washington.
Washington kicked 7 field goals last week. Giants didn't have a kicker. Otherwise, Washington's hadn't won. Bengals sit 0-2. They got to win. Got to win. I'm taking the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm not going to be as daring with this one. Pretty massive in favor of the Bengals here.
It looks like T. Higgins is going to play tonight as well for Cincinnati. And then Baltimore taking on Dallas. And we all took the Ravens in that game.
Correct. Yeah. But nobody could have predicted that furious comeback or score.
No. I was 27-17.
Yeah, you're probably I had 24-20, Bob 34-27.
Yeah, I expected fireworks, but not the kind that we saw.
Right.
I thought it was going to be a back and forth kind of thing, not right. Somebody getting blown out and then making a game of it. But we all picked the Ravens. I guess that's all that matters. We'll revisit this tomorrow when we reconvene. But coming up next, good talk some Orioles. Birds have lost 5 straight series. They go to New York, take it on the Yankees. Yankees' magic number to win the East is 1. Orioles' are magic number, what's 2, to win another wild card berth or another playoff spot. So that's going to be happening. Could happen as soon as tomorrow for both ball clubs with things circumstances working in the Orioles' favor. But either way, it's going to happen at some point. But moving ahead, can the Orioles hold on to the 1 seed, top wild card that is, and be dangerous once October rolls around? Kind of the opposite of last year when they had high hopes and went away quietly. Everyone expects them to go away quietly. Can they get noisy in the playoffs? Here to try to do it best he can from the Baltimore Banner. Talk some Orioles with John Mioli. John, what's happening? Thanks for joining us again here on 105.7 The Fan.
No, you know, I'm trying to figure it out just the same as you guys are. And you know, fortunately, unfortunately, whatever you want to call it, it's, you know, there's a week left of the regular season, and then we'll get our answers.
0-for-8 runners in scoring position. John, you're well aware of the fact that last year the Orioles were the number one team in baseball, batting average with runners in scoring position. Not so much this year. Seems to really be magnified in the second half of the season. And I know the Orioles have multiple hitting coaches here. And do we try to dissect? I'm not Rod Carew or George Brett, but the approach, how different is it in regards to just making contact, trying to do some things, or has the launch angle narrative become too much to overcome for them right now?
It's a complicated question. I don't think they've ever, you know, been out there having guys just make contact. You know, when these hitting coaches were, you know, helping some of these guys get to the big leagues, they were telling them that we want you to make as consistently hard contact in the air as you can, because that's where good things happen. That doesn't stop being the case when there's a guy on second base and 2 outs. It just becomes, you know, more magnified if you don't do it. So it's kind of a give and take. I think that I think that a lot of these hitters, if they started hearing something completely different, especially considering how they've come up and how they were taught to hit and how they learned to hit since they became pro ball players, if they were to start hearing something different, it might feel pretty strange to them. So the Orioles have been kind of staying the course and trying to keep things consistent. And, you know, you saw some really, really good contact with runners in scoring position yesterday. I think Colton Cowser had, you know, 700 feet worth of outs out to center field. You know, Ramon Urias hit a couple balls hard that found gloves. But especially recently, there were only a handful of guys who are, you know, honestly at their best capable of producing with runners in scoring position and are reliable. And now when you add back the injured players, there's less pressure on the guys who have been there. And I think that's something that we might see improve in this last week of the season and into October.
Now, getting back to Saturday, and I don't want to harp on this one much. Even Brandon Hyde referenced the game after yesterday's loss. But second and third, nobody out. Can't get the runner home in a season or a second half of frustrations in that area that we just talked about. Does that move to the top? Like, of all the games that we really let one get away, was Saturday's the one that kind of, maybe it's the most recent one, but Saturday's, I guess, still kind of stings a little here.
That really felt like significant, you know, missed opportunity, especially considering how the rest of the weekend played out around the league. Now, the Orioles didn't have a small magic number coming home last weekend after their most recent road trip for this series, this homestand, but it was very achievable. And when you look at the games that they didn't win, you know, that Tuesday game where Craig Kimbrell let it get out of hand, you know, it is what it is. But that game on Saturday, especially knowing that really basically just winning one more game over Detroit would have put the Orioles into the playoffs or made this a lot more comfortable and had it happen at home and had them kind of be able to have this off day and reset and treat this last week of the season, you know, for what it is. I think that would have been really, really helpful. You know, those situations, I think Brandon Hyde said 9 out of 10 times they get something across there. It certainly doesn't feel like that at this point, but I think that's broadly true, that more often than not with the guys who come up there with three opportunities to do so, one of them is going to get a run in, and I'm sure they're ready for the next chance to do so.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, joining us here. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jordan Westberg's back. Arias is back. And they both contributed defensively and put the bat on the ball as well. Will we see Mountcastle joining them in the Bronx maybe tomorrow?
I would assume so. Norfolk season is over as of yesterday. I know he got a hit down there finally. He's not necessarily somebody who is a rehab assignment performer. I feel like he was down there last year after he was dealing with vertigo for a while and it wasn't really clicking. And then he came up and he was really, really good for basically the rest of the season. So I'm kind of thinking something like that might be in the cards. And when he's in the mix, you know, then you get Ryan O'Hearn in more favorable matchups and playing just DH in the way that he probably wants to be doing. And you have somebody, you know, like Ryan Mountcastle, who's again, able to take a good at bat. When you mentioned Westberg and Arias, those were all quality at bats yesterday, and they were replacing players who weren't consistently given quality at bats. So add Mountcastle to that mix, and I think this is going to be, you know, as close to a whole of an Orioles team as you could ask for at the plate.
John, with Grayson Rodriguez, assuming he's back for October, his role will be what? What's the envisioned thing here?
Gosh, I don't know. You know, having not faced hitters yet, and without the potential for there to be any rehab starts, you could easily say, okay, you've thrown X amount of pitches, you know, X days, and you can have him on the roster as, you know, a short outing, you know, give us what you have and have it be really good type of guy. I can also kind of see a world where the Orioles are saying, okay, you know, this is going to be challenging to get you back for October 5th. But if we look at the calendar and we're saying, okay, you know, you could probably, if you face hitters on Tuesday and then Sunday and then next Thursday, you could be in the mix to give us 4 or 5 solid innings in the ALDS. And maybe you're looking at a situation where he's not on the wild card roster, because he's not fully ready to contribute in his best role. And then the Orioles have kind of this wild card. I've used that word too many times in one answer, but you know, this very, very interesting piece to add to their second round rotation.
Hey, John, what are you seeing from Suarez lately? And if he has another outing like he's had lately, what's his role going to be for the playoffs?
It feels to me like, you know, he just needs to be as fine as he possibly can with his command. When he is pitching well, he is locating his fastball in all parts of the plate. He's not getting to the big part, but he's able to put the ball where he wants it to it and get guys to swing and make bad contact. And you see these last couple outings where it hasn't been its best for him. He's leaving the ball in places he doesn't want to, and he's getting punished for it. You know, it's a pitch that he locates well, but it's not necessarily a great pitch, his fastball. So he went through stretches of this before. He got it back in a significant way once he rejoined the rotation. Honestly, the Orioles probably aren't the position they are if he didn't find it again. But with Corbin Burns and Zach Eflin kind of penciled in the top of the playoff rotation, I think I personally would feel a little more comfortable with Suarez being the one who is in the bullpen and Dean Kramer kind of being in reserve for a start after that, given we saw Suarez pitch pretty well in relief this year.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner. John, last thing for you. We've seen the Tigers twice in the last couple of weeks. Are they starting to, assuming they make the playoffs and they would be in, they started today, they starting to look like the Diamondbacks of 2023 all of a sudden here?
They certainly look good. Brandon Hyde was asked about, you know, having seen that team twice in basically the span of a week yesterday, and he was rattling off all the things he liked about them. You know, lights out bullpen, you know, athletic, play the game aggressively, have a lot of options on the bench. And I was thinking to myself, man, I'm sure people used to describe this Orioles team that way. They certainly have at times this year too, but it gives the same kind of vibes of that team you don't want to play because of all those factors you mentioned.
John Mioli, Baltimore Banner, talking Orioles. John, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and we'll catch up with you before the playoffs.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
It's John Mioli, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take a trip through the Funhouse, then Inside Access takes over too. And we got Monday Night Football coming up later on The Fan as well. Commanders at Arizona next week. New England's at San Francisco. Browns are at the Raiders. Both teams suffering embarrassing home losses yesterday. Kansas City's at the Chargers. Ravens host the Bills next Sunday night. Tennessee is at Miami. Skylar Thompson is out. Looks like Tyler Huntley could be the starting quarterback for the Dolphins there.
That'll be a game that I'm really not looking forward to watching.
And then Seattle at Detroit, though.
I'll be watching that one.
There's an interest level there. Orioles are in New York taking on the Yankees, starting a 3-game set tomorrow. We'll preview that when we reconvene. Maryland's going to be at Indiana noon, getting 7 points against the undefeated Hoosiers. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh. He's going to meet with the media here within the hour. So, Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people for Inside Access takes over?
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting. Lost in all the craziness of the finish of yesterday's game, Derrick Henry, of course, had his best showing so far in Baltimore. And you go back to the offseason when he was a free agent, who were the suitors for Derrick Henry? Well, of course, Baltimore, we knew the interest dating back to the trade deadline of last year. But the other team, or maybe the only other prominent team, was the Cowboys. Their fan base was clamoring, hey, bring in Derrick Henry. We have a need at running back, a glaring one. They didn't do it. And he showed them firsthand in their own stadium, hey, this is what you were missing out on.
Plus, Nolan, he works out in Dallas in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to go there. His agent is the same agent as Dak Prescott.
Makes too much sense. Yeah. And then Jerry Jones afterwards said we couldn't afford him.
Yeah,
it was a money issue.
But, you know, here's the thing about it is if you'd have got the two deals done earlier, and here's the thing about it is if they were going to pay them top-of-the-line money, because that's what they ended up doing with both, if you're going to do that, you could have done it months ago and would have been cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have had Derrick Henry.
Right. They like to wait, though. Jerry likes to wait. Plays out the string.
He's got to wait for his second victory because they didn't get it yesterday, and they got Thursday night against the Giants. But Nolan, let's get out of here. Funhouse.
Quick draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says the Ravens are in a really tough spot with Justin Tucker. He's earned some patience and the benefit of the doubt because of his track record, but at the same time, a kicker of his caliber missing this many in a short amount of time is uncharted territory. I fear that this will impact Harbaugh's trust in him the rest of the season.
Well, it's got to, because he's burned you two of the three games right now, he's burned you. So, and making them in practice is not going to give me confidence. He's got to make them in the games. And mentally for him, you know, he needs like a short field goal against Buffalo or something. Something that he can just drill through there to get, take a deep breath. Yeah, that one felt good. And then, because the 46-yarder was ugly.
This texter says, why do the Ravens get so vanilla when they have a large lead? After Tucker's missed field goal, all hell broke loose. Harbaugh looked like a deer in the headlights. They didn't know if they were coming or going. Very poor coaching.
See, I disagree with that. You know, they only had really, prior to the Lamar, you know, trying to run out the clock, they only had one other series. And that was the one that they threw to Andrews. That third and three, I think that's where they should have run the ball two times, get that first down. And then it was incomplete and they had to punt. But other than that, they never got the ball back again until, you know, with 2 minutes and 30 seconds to go. So I don't know what you're saying, because every one of us would have tried to go up 31-6 and have the most accurate kicker under 50. You know, I mean, to me, that was a no-brainer.
Sort of along the same lines, Texter says, I can't be mad at the offense. They had the proper game plan, feed Henry and Lamar. It worked. They kept running in the fourth. Now people all of a sudden want them to be more aggressive with passes. It doesn't make sense. When something's working, stick with it. They did. The defense and special teams is way more to blame.
No question about it. The offense, I don't know what more you can say. The only thing was, if they'd have made that one other first down, you know, on the third and three, then we're probably not even having, then it's probably 28-18, you know, would be the final. But you know what? I said this, Bob, towards the end of, right at the end when we picked our score yesterday in the pregame show and everything. I said, Tim, I hope they're in a situation where they're up 10 late in the fourth quarter and see what happens.
And last one from Glenn in Hamden, who says, two special teams gaffes, a safety that wasn't, sack that turns into a personal foul, phantom defensive holding call, all of this going on. They took a lot of shots, still got the win on the road. I'm not going to jump on Harbs for the way that game ended.
No, you can't. The only thing that you're disappointed is you wish somebody on defense stepped up and made a play. Because offensively, when they needed it, you can say what you want about Lamar, but it wasn't Derrick Henry stepping up and making a play. Lamar throwing it and running it. Lamar's the one that made the plays.
Ravens are 1-2. They got the big win on the road, so they needed that one. Hopefully that catapults them into a little hot streak here, but Buffalo's not going to be an easy foe coming up next Sunday night. M&T Bank Stadium, that's going to do it for us. We're back tomorrow. Turn it up Tuesday. Hear from John Harbaugh. Preview Orioles and Yankees and talk about everything else that's happening in your sporting world. Ladies and gentlemen, Inside Access is coming up next. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.